In our studies in 1 Samuel, we are now about to be introduced to one who became renowned in the ancient history of Israel, a man renowned as a prophet. I refer to Samuel. What a unique person he was in his involvement in the lives of two kings, the first king of Israel, Saul, and the second king of Israel, David. Samuel is an exemplary figure to all of us, exemplary in the matter of prayer, exemplary in the matter of holy living, exemplary in the manner of pastoral care, exemplary in the manner of godly, fearless leadership. And these things will become apparent to us as we, over the next few Sundays, give some attention to his life. But today I want us to consider a very important matter concerning him. His life could be, for a course of study, could be divided into two divisions. First of all, his childhood, and then his manhood. It's his childhood that I want us to consider today. And I want you to notice several things about it. First of all, the facts that are associated with the childhood of Samuel. I want you to notice, first of all, the prayerfulness of his mother. That was a tremendous fact. We saw that last Sunday whenever we were looking, or a couple of Sundays ago, when we were looking at Hannah. But at any rate, we saw that woman's prayer, that it was definite. She prayed for a child, a man child. It was continual. She kept praying to the Lord. It was earnest. She says, out of the abundance of my grief and complaint have I spoken, and it was with confidence. We saw then that she prayed through. She got an answer of peace, and the Bible tells us in that first chapter, her countenance was no more sad, which meant, and if you're familiar with the story, she had been a very vexed woman, a very heartbroken woman, but now something had happened. She had received an assurance of an answer of peace, and she went back. She began to eat, and she was no more sad. So the first fact is he had a prayerful mother, the prayerfulness of his mother. There's a second fact, and that is the kindness of his God. This is wonderful in God to give Hannah a son, to condescend to her in the midst of her grief and her longing to pray for a baby boy particularly. God is just showing how kind he is. And my dear friend, he's kind to us too in giving us specific answers to our prayers, in hearing our request, giving us both what we need and what we desire. So that's another fact. But then there's a third fact that associated itself with Samuel's childhood, and that was the yieldedness of his parents. You remember we saw that first week that Hannah said, Lord, if you will give me a child, this is what I will do. Just turn back to it a moment. Verse 11 of chapter 1. She vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid and remember me, and not forgive thine handmaid, but will give unto thine handmaid a man child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life. There shall no razor come upon his head, meaning he would be a Nazarite. He would be handed over to you completely. And then at the end of 1 Samuel, we read in verse 27, when she brought the child to the house of God when he was young, verse 27, she says to Eli, for this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given me my petition when I asked, which I asked of him. Therefore also I have lent him to the Lord as long as he liveth. He shall be lent to the Lord, and he worshipped the Lord there. He was handed over to Eli, and he became a wee servant boy in the temple in Shiloh at that particular time. Notice again chapter 2 and verse 19. And Samuel grew. Sorry, that's chapter 3. Chapter 2, verse 19. And Eli blessed. Moreover, his mother made him a little coat and brought it to him from year to year when she came up with her husband to offer the yearly sacrifice. This is a pious couple, Elkanah and Hannah. Their wee boy was up at this temple, and every year they came up and brought him this little coat. That tells me that even though she was a mother, and her heart would have yearned for the companionship of her little child at home, she was a woman who kept her word and yielded him up to the Lord. And his father, Elkanah, he also acquiesced in it. He complied in it. He was of the same mind. And both of them handed over that wee baby to the Lord. And mums and dads, that would be good for us, even before the children are born, to hand them over to the Lord and say, Lord, whenever this baby is born that you are going to bless me with, I want now to hand him over to you, that he live his life, her life, for thee, and early in life come to know thee as Savior. But it must have been hard for Elkanah, and especially Hannah, to yield their little darling boy up to the Lord. But there's another factor in the childhood. Not only the prayerfulness of his mother, not only the kindness of his God, not only the yieldedness of his parents, but the uniqueness of his circumstances. Notice chapter 2, verse 18. But Samuel ministered before the Lord, being a child, girded with a linen ephod. These ephods were worn by the priests. So this wee lad is helping Eli with temple work. And I believe it's physical work, because Eli's getting on in years here. Notice chapter 3, verse 1. And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli. So there he is, a little lad, wearing the ephod, in among the people that were associated with Eli in the temple, or the tabernacle as it's was then in Shiloh. But at any rate, from his very earliest, he has been dedicated to the service of the Lord, and he's being engaged in that particular work. And let me stop and say a wee word to the good numbers of girls and boys who are in church today. I want to say this to you, children. You are not too young to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. You're not too young either to be aware that God has surrounded you with many benefits of godly parents, Christian workers here every week in the meetings for you. You think well of that. These are important facts that surround your childhood. You may not deem it to be much of a privilege or very exciting now to belong to a church like this, or to belong to different departments of the church where Christian workers teach you. But it is a privilege nonetheless. And the older you get, and in later years, you will cherish it. But think well of the blessings that God has given you, both in your home and in your church. And if you belong to our Christian school, think of the privileges that are yours there. That's the first thing about the childhood of Samuel, the facts that were associated with it. But notice secondly, we're coming now to the main part of this, the feature that highlighted it. Whenever we talk about Samuel, whenever we think of Samuel, especially as a boy, what's the first thing that comes into our minds? I'm sure the girls and boys that are familiar with this part of the Bible will tell me, and tell me rightly, he was called by God at night time. And you would be right in saying that. And this is the feature. He received a very special call of God to him. Let me say again to you girls and boys, you are not too young to be called of God. First of all, to become a Christian, that your life may be given over to him, that you might trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. You're not too young. If you understand the need to be saved, if you have the desire to receive the Lord Jesus Christ into your heart, you do that. You're not too young if you're aware of that. And let me tell you something else. You're not too young to be called of God to Christian service. God may begin His call, His workings in your life while you're a child, and keep that before you at different times throughout the years until you come to be an older age. Or even as a child, He can call you even for some specific particular work as a child. The Bible tells us that. We're seeing it now. Now let's notice about this call, two things that concern it. First of all, the period when it came. We have that in the opening verses. I want you to notice chapter 3, verse 1. Verse 2. It came to pass at that time when Eli was laid down in his place, and his eyes began to wax dim that he could not see. Eli was an old man. He was on the way out. We saw last week that God had set him aside from his work, at least a certain aspect of it, the priesthood aspect of it, because of his continual sin in not disciplining his immoral children. We're told something else about the time, that the lamp of the temple went out. Verse 3, that's just to be taken in a literal sense, that the lights would have burned every day and then they just would have gone out. But there's something symbolical here. It was a time in Israel's history when great apostasy and falling away was taking place. And if you look at the opening verse, verse 1, the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli, and the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision. That word precious means rare. No open vision means there was very little public ministry. God was not sending revelations to the prophets. The nation at large were not hearing God's word because of the apostasy. It was at this particular time that Samuel was receiving his call. The lamp was going out in the temple, symbolical of the lamp of truth. Not that it will ever go out, but being dimmed in the land of Israel. But there's another aspect to this period. That is, whenever Samuel was in bed. Notice what we are told in verse 2. It came to pass that at this time when Eli was laid down in his place. And then verse 3, the end of the verse. And Samuel was laid down to sleep, that the Lord called Samuel. Called him in bed. Let me read to you what Job had to say in chapter 33, verse 14. For God speaketh once, yea, twice, yet man perceiveth it not. In a dream, in a vision of the night, when deep slumber falleth upon men, in slumberings upon the bed, then he openeth the ears of men and sealeth their instruction. God can deal with people in their sleep. God can deal with people when they're lying in bed. In fact, we sang in our psalm this morning. There's a verse in that psalm, and I chose the psalm for that reason. That David said that he would meditate upon the Lord in the night watches on his bed. So if you can't sleep, friend, rather than counting sheep, worse still, worrying and brooding, begin to meditate upon God's word. Because Samuel was settling down to sleep, and before he got over to sleep, God called him. Now the interesting thing is, he didn't know it was the Lord. In fact, he thought it was Eli. So whatever way the voice sounded, it sounded like Eli's. So Eli was frail. He was nearly blind. He had been set aside. He would soon be dying anyhow. The lamp of God was going out, and Samuel was in bed. And this is when the call of God comes to a person. Ladies and gentlemen, you don't have to be in a sacred place, like a church sanctuary, to hear the call of God. Although, if it's an evangelical church, God will call often. You can hear that call at home. You can hear it at school. You can hear it in the office. You can hear it when you're out walking. You can hear it in your own quiet times and Bible readings. Samuel heard it when he was settling down to sleep. Notice not only the period when it came, but the particulars that it contained. You think about this. First of all, it was specific. specific regarding two things. Regarding, first of all, the person for whom it was intended. He called Samuel by his name. That's why Samuel got up and ran to Eli. He says, "You called me." Eli says, "No." He went back to bed. Samuel heard the call again. He says, "You called me." He says, "No." But it was Samuel's name each time. And not only with regard to the name, but with regard to the message. What a message. Notice verse 11. The Lord said to Samuel, "Behold, I will do a thing in Israel at which both the ears of every one that heareth it shall tingle." This was big news. And of course it had to do with the house of Eli. Imagine telling a child that. Oh, the solemnity of this call. God confiding in a child. This call was not only specific, but it was sustained. Whenever Samuel thought it was Eli calling and went back the third time and says, "You did call me," then we saw the spirituality of old Eli. Even though he was being set aside, even though he was very weak with his children, yet he was a man who knew the Lord. And the Bible says, Eli perceived that the Lord was calling the child. He says, "The next time, son, you hear this voice, you just say, 'Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth.'" But it was a specific and sustained call. Let me say a word to the adults now. Don't underestimate the significance of a child. Don't underestimate what a child is taking in. We know that they take in plenty of the unsavory things of the world. They're filled with it every day. They can take that in. They could teach adults a lot about things. Therefore, the onus is upon them to get the Word of God to them, that they may imbibe that. God thought so when he called this child with such a solemn message. What a feature of his childhood to receive a call like that. The facts surrounding his childhood, the feature that his childhood highlighted, this amazing call of God. And then I want you to notice, lastly, the faithfulness that distinguished that childhood. Now, we've already seen that God came to Samuel. He stood in front of him. We don't know what form he took, but the Bible tells us there in verse 10, the Lord came and stood and called as at other times, "Samuel, Samuel." Then Samuel answered, "Speak, for thy servant heareth." Eli said, "Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth." Samuel didn't use the word Lord. Whatever reason, maybe he wasn't sure if it was the Lord that was speaking. But there he is lying in bed, and the Lord has appeared in some form before him. "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel standing there, or lying there with a blanket round him, he's saying, "Speak, for thy servant heareth." At least he was open to God's word now. "Speak, I'm listening. I want to hear what you have to say to me." What a message that God brought to that young fellow. I want you to notice two things about this awful difficulty that now presented itself to the mind of the young man, the young boy. You see, whenever God told him that, we'll not go down it now, but you have it from verse 11 to 14. That a young child is hearing such things from Almighty God concerning the sin that was in the camp, concerning the old mature man Eli and his family being set aside, and the whole priestly dynasty of that family being set aside. God goes away. And young Samuel's lying there, taking it all in, trying to come to terms with what he has heard. And then it comes into his mind, "Eli will want to know what I have been told." So you can see right away how this difficulty was occasioned. And sure enough, Eli did want to know. Notice verse 15. Samuel lay until the morning and opened the doors of the house of the Lord. And Samuel feared to show Eli the vision. Then Eli called Samuel and said, "Samuel, my son." And he answered, "Here am I." And he said, "What's the thing that the Lord has said unto thee?" What a question. Did Samuel hesitate? We have Eli's next statement. "I pray thee, hide it not from me. God do so to thee and more also, if thou hide anything from me of all the things that he said unto thee." You think of the difficulty that now was presented to Samuel. I have got to tell this old man, my superior, this experienced man, this man that knows God, I have got to tell him what God told me, that he's confirming that he's setting him aside. Can you see the dilemma? The shattering message? Well, Samuel's destined to be a prophet. And he's got his first test that there will come times, and every preacher will know this, that if he's going to be true to the message of God, he will say things that will hurt the feelings of people. That was the difficulty that arose for Samuel. Notice how the difficulty was overcome. Difficulty or not, he had a responsibility now as God's prophet. Notice what we are told in verse 18. Samuel told him every whit and hid nothing from him. Out with it. No hedging. Not being rude. Not being deliberately offensive. But whatever the message is, you want to know what God told me, I'll tell you everything. And he stands before that old man. He said, "This is what God told me last night, throughout the night." So the difficulty was overcome, first of all, by being brave. Secondly, by experiencing God's enablement. The Lord helped the young boy to be faithful. We are told in that verse 18, he told him every whit. That is, every word that God told him, he held nothing back. God enabled him. He was brave. But there's another matter. Eli was gracious and submissive. Notice verse 18. Samuel told him every whit and hid nothing from him. And he said, this is what Eli said, "It is the Lord. Let him do what seemeth him good." The child had played his part in bringing the message. The person for whom the message was intended played his part in receiving a hard message with grace and submission. We can all learn in this from this child and from this old man. But as I come to a close, let me just remark what a childhood this boy Samuel had, and say, first of all, children are so important to the Lord God Almighty. We see it here in the life of Samuel. We see it in the way God preserved Moses in the ark of bulrushes whenever Pharaoh in his ire wanted to blot out the male boys that were born, the male children that were born. We have seen it in the life of the Lord Jesus when the disciples saw these women bringing their babies to the Lord for the Lord to bless them. And they rebuked them, but the Lord Jesus said, "No, let them alone. Suffer the little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of heaven." And he took them up in his arms, put his hands upon them and blessed them. How important children are to God. And again, young boy, young girl here, let me emphasize, you are important to God. You might say, "Well, I only get in the road of these adults. They ignore me. They never bother with me." Well, that shouldn't be, because God will bother with you. God loves you. He wants you to become his child. He wants you to trust him. He wants to save you early in your life. And if you are a Christian, he wants you to live for him and all the pressures of society that's upon you, He wants you to keep your eyes on Him and be true to Him. He may call you in this church today to be a Christian and to be a servant of Him. Whenever you hear that call, you obey, even though it may be hard, just as Samuel found it hard. And may I say to us all, God is calling every one of us into a closer walk with Himself. Should we not respond? Should we not enter into a closer walk with the Lord than we've ever had before? And if you're not a Christian as an adult, would now not be the best time to call on the name of the Lord Jesus and trust Him as your Savior, as He is calling you by name to repent of your sin and to put your trust in Him? Let's bow to prayer together. Father, we thank Thee for this young lad. A child maybe, but oh, what a childhood we have seen about him today. What a destiny lies ahead of him. What a mighty man in Israel this boy will become. I pray that Thou wilt call some young Samuel here today. Let them hear Thee calling him to salvation. Or calling some little lass. May she open her heart to receive Thee. We pray, Lord, that young people may hear the call of God into a life of seriousness and Christian service. Serious Christian service. And for all of us grown up, maybe in that particular time of life that Eli was in, we pray, Lord, that our lives will be given to Thee afresh, that we might experience a new consecration and dedication to Thyself and Thy cause. And for all who have never trusted Christ as Savior, they'll hear Thee call today, and may they trust the Savior to be theirs. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen.